Hello?
Hi, Lisa. This is Rebecca with ASHRAE Journal.
Hi, nice to meet you. This is Lisa Ng from the National Institute of Standards and Technology.
Thank you for joining us on Hot Air.
It's great to be here.
Your April ASHRAE Journal talks about ventilation in school corridors. Can you briefly tell us why you think it's important that school corridors be ventilated beyond the general use specification that's currently in ASHRAE Standard 62.1?
Well, thank you so much, Rebecca. I would love to talk about the April article. So a little background, I'm a member of the Ventilation Subcommittee of SSPC 62.1. And for those of you who don't know what SSPC stands for, that's the Standing Standard Project Committee. And we're tasked with maintaining the ANSI ASHRAE standard 62.1, which is the ventilation and acceptable indoor air quality. So we had a continuous maintenance proposal, another acronym, CMP, come through to ask us to look into the appropriateness of the general use rate for schools. So corridors in schools are not like corridors in office buildings. I'm in an office building right now, and right now our corridors are dark because the occupancy sensor has sensed no one in there. But I bet my kids in their school corridors, those corridors are filled with art projects, people making up tests. And if it's between classes, those corridors are filled with students and probably not using their indoor voices. And in secondary schools, there's lockers in these corridors with who knows what, potato chips, sweaty gym clothes, textbooks they've never opened. So you really can't describe students and school corridors as quote unquote persons passing through, and you can't really describe school corridors as quote unquote having no significant space related contaminants. So when this CMP continuous maintenance proposal came through, our working group decided to do some simulations to look at how changing a school corridor ventilation rate from a general use rate to one that's more appropriate and how that affects the simulated contaminants in there. So the simulation results that presented in the article in April showed the data that was supporting the writing of Addenda A. So late last year, ASHRAE 62.1 actually passed this addenda to add a new space type under educational facilities with a more appropriate per area rate.
Tell us a little bit about the simulations you conducted.
So we used the secondary school DOE prototype building. It's a very popular set of prototype buildings for simulation folks. And these simulation results are used to support energy standards. So we took those models and made airflow simulations out of them to look at three ventilation scenarios. One is no ventilation, meaning no outdoor air is directly supplied to the corridors. Classroom doors are open to passively ventilate corridors, and classroom doors are open during transition times to provide this passive ventilation. The second scenario is providing mechanical ventilation directly to the corridors. This is using the general corridor ventilation rate of about 0.06 CFM per square foot. And then the last ventilation scenario is double that requirement, which is 0.12 CFM per square foot. We compared the annualized exposure to carbon dioxide based on the concentrations simulated in the zones and the time that the occupants spend either in the classroom or in the corridor. Because we assumed that students were in their classroom 50 minutes of every hour and then transitioning 10 minutes between classes. We did this because we understand that exposure is not just the concentration that's in the space, but also the time spent in each space. As you might expect, the CO2 was higher in the corridor when it was occupied because there's a lot of students in there, but they only spend 10 minutes in the corridor every hour. So we took this into consideration when comparing the simulation results across the three ventilation scenarios. Our simulation results show that relying on classroom ventilation to passively ventilate the corridor might not be the most effective approach. Now, if we took the required ventilation rate in general corridors and doubled it, we found that school occupants would be exposed to 11% less CO2 over the course of a school year and 15% less total volatile organic compound, or TVOC, across the school year.
What do you believe the impact would be of designers using the new rate that you came up with that was passed in the addenda?
Yeah, that's a great question. The first positive impact would be on the indoor air quality in corridors. Now that we have a better idea of how they're occupied and the contaminants that might be in there, ventilating directly at double the general use corridor rate would mean that we could improve indoor air quality outcomes for students. In the article, you'll see that increasing ventilation in the corridors also does help the CO2 levels in the classrooms as well. I also caveat that even though CO2 is not a direct indicator of indoor air quality and should not be used as the only indicator, you can read in the ASHRAE position document on CO2 that it can be used as a indicator. When you use a ventilation rate that is more appropriate for the occupancy, you can improve indoor air quality. I will also say that as a member of the ventilation subcommittee for 62.1, we did not evaluate the energy impacts of this new ventilation rate, but in the article, you'll see that there are practical ways to implement this without having an energy impact.
Thank you so much, Lisa. I encourage our listeners to read the article to learn more details.
Thank you so much, Rebecca.
I'm Rebecca Matasovsky, ASHRAE Journal's technical editor, and you've been listening to Hot Air.